Good afternoon.
You can hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you. Yes.
Oh, I hear Jose Miguel.
Yes,
somewhere
right.
I
can see I'm not on the on the screen, but I'm trying to chair this panel with you.
There's Jose Miguel. I thought for a moment, Enrique, we were the silent majority, as you once referred to yourself at one of our meetings.
I'm going to move so that you can see Enrique all the time.
There's Fernando Enrique there. Right. Yeah.
We'll take it away from him.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to begin by saying that next Tuesday we're going to have a major event in Washington. All the world is spending on that event. It's going to be what we're going to be watching. And there is a strange contradiction, a strange paradox in what's going on in the past few days in the world, in the U.S. and in the world. On the one hand, there's a great concern. People are concerned, are alarmed by the depth of the financial global crisis. And you hear dire words such as deep, long, prolonged. You don't hear anymore the idea that this is going to be a short-term crisis. And many people not only compare it with the crisis of 80 years ago, but some even say that it's much worse than the crisis the world went through 80 years ago. On the other hand, there's a party going on with the arrival of Barack Obama to the presidency of the United States. And that is not only because of the historical importance, the fact that we are seeing history being made, but also because of the degree of expectation that the new administration carries with it. And I think that if in some places expectation is big, aside from the United States, it's Latin America and the Caribbean. We have had this morning a very important discussion here on the global crisis and its effects in Latin America and the Caribbean. And I don't think I'm wrong to say that a lot was said about the U.S. and the need for this or that or those policies in the U.S. We are confronted with serious threats and a lot of challenges that we have to face. And the questions that we want to place to this panel we are having today is what are the policies? What are the new visions that exist or that can be expected from the Barack Obama administration with regards to Latin America? What would the new U.S. administration expect from Latin America and the Caribbean? What can we expect for the summit of the Americas we're going to have by the end of April in Trinidad and Tobago? I would say, in general, there's a sense that this is a time for a much more a larger engagement of the U.S. Is that going to be possible? With the crisis going on inside your own country, and with the number of hot spots around the world, we are all seeing today what's going on in Gaza. Many people that feel that even if we have goodwill, probably the Obama administration will not have time for Latin America and the Caribbean. All these are the questions that we want to ask today, and I'm going to say something about my own opinion later. But I think that it's time to start the panel. We have some very distinguished panelists in Washington, and so without any more delay, I will give the floor to the first of them, which is our good friend Thomas McLarty, Mac McLarty. You all know Mac. He was a special envoy. He was the last special envoy because the Bush administration did not have a special special envoy for Latin America. They say that this new administration is going to have one. So what better way to start this panel with asking this special envoy and the person who has been remained in touch with Latin America, the Caribbean, and its realities and our realities, to tell us how he sees this new relationship between the region and the Barack Obama administration, and what can we expect of it. Mark, you have the floor.
Jose Miguel, thank you very much for your usual thoughtful opening comments and also your very warm words. It's good to be with you virtually. Enrique, congratulations again. You have shown your creativity by linking us all together with this wonderful technology, and I know you've been a gracious host, and Phil and Michael and I very much miss being there. I saw President Cardoso was clearly proving he is contemporary. He was on his BlackBerry as we were chatting earlier, so he is staying in touch with the world, and I'm sure Peter and Ambassador Hills are always, as always, offering their thoughtful commentary as well as the other distinguished participants in your meeting there. It's interesting, Jose Miguel, Philip Bennett and I were just chatting for a few moments before we were all linked up, and we had very similar comments to the ones you just made. It is indeed a time of very distinct and mixed feelings in our country, perhaps less so in some ways than around the world, but I think very similar in many ways as well. And that is, you're exactly right. It's a time of great hope and promise in our country. People are excited. There will be some party atmosphere, which there always are with inaugurals. I think President Clinton had 14 balls that he attended in 1993. But it's a much more serious time in the United States and the world. But nonetheless, there's great promise, and I think I recently read in The Economist where a very respected observer said he felt the attitude toward the United States would change by at least 50% or more just when President Obama was sworn in. Just the mere swearing in would change the feelings about the U.S. and toward the U.S. I'm not sure that's perfectly correct, but it was worth noting. At the same time, there is understandable anxiety, anxiousness, and unsettledness, and even fear in the U.S. It's a very serious, somber time from an economic standpoint. And I think with Phil and others here from the journalism and communications, I do think the 24/7 news cycle that we all are so much aware of reinforces that a bit, and I think that's a little bit different than in past years. But this recession, as you noted, Jose Miguel, is not a V. It's not the typical cyclical recession that hopefully is a fast recovery. It looks like a much more prolonged one, and I would say that we're clearly in just very uncharted waters from an economic standpoint. Now, going to President-elect Obama and his administration in the region, I think the best thing he can do in terms of U.S., Latin American, or hemispheric relations, because we certainly want to include our friends from the north, from Canada, is to frankly address the issues here in the United States from a domestic standpoint in a very serious, skillful way, which clearly is his top priority other than obviously as Commander-in-Chief and the security and protection of our citizens, which is always your sacred responsibility and in many ways your top priority. But the more we can address our problems here, the better chance the world economy will begin to stabilize, and the more secure our people here will feel, which I think will lead to a natural engagement abroad. And I do think that President-elect Obama and Vice President-elect Biden have a clear record and philosophy and view of engagement in the world. One of the big question marks is how that overall overarching foreign policy view, how trade will relate to that. I see Jim Colby, my friend and colleague, and Ambassador Hills and others who have worked so hard on trade. That will be a question mark. But that will be the first priority. I do think that instinctively President Obama will engage with the region. I think he will understand the importance of the region. He went on record early in the campaign that indeed he would appoint a special envoy for the Americas. And so I think that is at least one suggestion of his commitment. He has not been to the region, and so that will be also kind of a question mark, if you will. On the other hand, Secretary of State designate Clinton has been to the region many, many times. So I think she well understands the importance of the region, and I think the fact that the Summit of the Americas, which I think did provide a framework, obviously I'm not an objective observer, but I think it's good, very positive, that the summit will be held early in the first year of the Obama presidency. And I think it's also, frankly, a positive that it will be in Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean, because that will necessarily, I think, underscore some of the unique challenges and opportunities in the Caribbean. In terms of the priorities, I think you have Mexico and Brazil will be and should be looked at in some ways as distinct relationships. That is not to at all minimize any of the other relationships in the region, but I saw Jorge Castaneda as the camera went through the broad participation. And I think the fact that President-elect Obama made an effort to meet with President Calderon underscores his feeling and the importance of the U.S.-Mexico relations. There's no doubt that not only narco trafficking and immigration are top priorities, but the overall broader relationship with Mexico is clearly very essential and important. And Brazil, in terms of not only the overall relationship, but energy, I think will be very high on the agenda. Chile, as always, with President Lagos, I see, will play a pivotal role in the region with hopefully some of the continued progressive reforms. So I think at bottom line, Jose Miguel, I do not see the region not being on the radar screen, but they're clearly going to be higher priorities both from a foreign policy standpoint and certainly from a domestic standpoint. But that doesn't mean that the administration overall, particularly from a cabinet standpoint and a White House standpoint with the envoy, can't engage effectively with the region. If it does not, if President-elect Obama does not give it some sense of priority, I think that will be a big mistake.
Thank you very much, Mac. That's a very good framework to begin this conversation, and I'm glad to hear from you. You have a, I would say, cautiously optimistic view of the possibility of establishing a very strong relationship. I will immediately give the floor to the other panelists, which is one of the other panelists, which is in Washington, and then I'll turn it over to some of the ones that are here. And he is Philip Bennett. Philip Bennett is the managing editor, if I'm not wrong, of the Washington Post. And the newspaper, as you know, the one we read every morning, for those who live in Washington, and that has to follow the issues of foreign policy, especially of the crisis on foreign policy, very strongly in the past weeks, with a lot of references to Latin America. So I'm hoping that he can give us all his views on this matter. Philip?
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be with you again this afternoon for you and here in this morning in Washington with my friends Mac and Michael. I would just underscore a couple of the points that Mac made and try to introduce one or two other thoughts in a way that in some ways is more general than simply policy towards Latin America and the Caribbean. You know, I think we've been watching during this transition period since the election for signs of how the real policies of the Obama administration might take shape now that the campaign is over. And one of the things that we're finding is that, and Obama's been fairly consistent about this over the last several months, the degree to which he represents the change that it is, his administration is, that it is a change in style, a change in tone, and when it comes to foreign policy, a change in worldview. And I think that we're still trying to puzzle together, in some cases, how that change in worldview will apply itself to individual policies. I think in terms of the negotiations going on in Washington right now about an economic package and about the first outlines of the foreign policy that the administration is going to pursue, we've seen a very distinct style of pragmatism emerging. I think this is a very mainstream, mainline Democratic Party foreign policy that's coming together. And I think that the president-elect has shown and has gone out of his way to show that he's going to be open to a lot of different views, that he's going to be cautious. He has said there was a very revealing interview, I think, as these things go, on Sunday on ABC News between George Stephanopoulos and the president-elect, in which the president-elect repeated that there's no pride of authorship on policies that will be embraced by the administration. There was one point in that interview in which the host read a quote from Vice President Cheney saying that the president-elect should remain open, shouldn't automatically dismiss positions of the Bush administration without studying themselves. And Obama, I thought quite surprisingly, said that he found nothing to quarrel with in that view. So I think coming in, we're seeing a very open and cautious and pragmatic approach. I think that there's some tension, and Mac alluded to this in these cross currents of hope and anxiety. There's some tension between this idea that on day one we'll see many, many changes, and that this is going to be a gradualist, cautious, pragmatic approach. And I think that for the time being, both will be true. You can see in the big areas of foreign policy, Iraq, Afghanistan, that they've announced quite different approaches to those parts of the world than the Bush administration. But how they're going to play out is going to be much more gradual. Obama has, of course, said that he's going to withdraw troops within 16 months from Iraq, but he said that he'll be very careful and cautious going out. The administration has said that we'll double the number of troops in Afghanistan. But there, too, they're conducting a top-to-bottom review of what the mission of those troops will be. And just on Sunday, with regard to Guantanamo, President-elect Obama reiterated that he would close Guantanamo and probably announce that on his first day as president, but that, as he said, many people don't see or don't understand how complex that is, and it could take many months, many, many months, to unwind the Guantanamo situation. So I think we see this, and we'll see this, I think, applied to Latin America as well. I think there is, in some quarters, a growing recognition, as somebody wrote last week, that the United States is engaged in three wars, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and, although in a much different way, with a big stake in the war that's going on in northern Mexico over drug trafficking. And I think that that will begin to bubble up as a significant issue in Washington over the coming months and could become a sort of test for the new administration. As far as the agenda goes, I think we're going to see a very interesting first 100 days. April, as Jose Miguel mentioned, is going to obviously hold the Summit of the Americas late in the month. But early in that month, there'll be a G20 meeting in London, followed by a NATO summit in Europe, in which Afghanistan, Pakistan will be major topics. I think April lines up as a very significant month for this administration to lay out the major outlines of its foreign policy. And I think that we'll see in the intervening period a movement towards that. And I would say as a footnote that although no one has really mentioned it recently, candidate Obama said that within his first 100 days in office, he would deliver a major speech in a majority Muslim country in which he redefined the U.S. Approach to the Muslim world. And so that will happen, that falls within the same time frame. So I think these first months will be extremely telling. If I could add a question to the original question of, you know, will engagement be possible in the Americas, I think one of the questions that I would bring to it is, how will Obama spend this popularity and support as he begins to form real relationships with his allies in Europe and allied nations in Latin America? What will he ask of them, and what hard decisions will he make that will really test how much the rest of the world is looking for change from the United States?
Thank you very much, Philip. I think we'll turn now to one of our panelists here in Madrid, and I'm going to ask President Ricardo Lagos to give us his views on this matter. I'm sorry, but I think that we have no translation in Washington, so if we can do it in English, I would be very grateful for that.
Okay, thank you. So I'll do it in a rather awkward English in order that I understand that you don't have translation that there.
But I think we all speak Spanish.
But I think that it's very, very important, the two things that you mentioned before. First, that this is the time of change and hope. And change and hope is something that we were discussing here in Madrid this morning.
Yeah? Basically, the three of you can understand Spanish, so if you don't.
Okay. It's
fine. So you prefer Spanish, that's okay.
Whatever our chairman and president wants to do is fine.
What happens is that in the morning, in our discussion, it was very interesting to speak that there had been a change, a longer change in Latin America, and it had to do with the fact that Latin America in the last 15, 20 years has changed a lot. And today we have a different Latin America. After 5-6 years of quick economic growth, first of all, we see that the crisis does not stem in Latin America, but in the States. Second, we are putting up with the consequences of this crisis, but also we have a Latin America, and most of the countries, the biggest countries, do not qualify for economic aid. They are medium-income countries. They have decreased poverty more, some than others. So the relationship between Latin America and the States is bound to be different from the one we were used to in the past. Consequently, as we said here, this Latin America of today understands that in order to go on growing, we have to talk to the States and to other friends in the world and discuss an international agenda. And this is the one we have on the table today. So the relations between the USA and Latin America will be much more determined by the ability to agree upon an important agenda that has to do with multilateral topics, but essential topics for our own development. And consequently, we are starting from the fact that the new administration also brings about new principles. As I said this morning, the first principle is that we know that there are limitations to a unilateral approach. So there's going to be a trend towards discussing things with partners to have a multilateral policy so that the U.S. decisions are more legitimate, because it is not enough for the States to decide. And as Felipe González said at lunchtime, the other partners also realize that there is no possibility to go ahead without the direct participation of the States. Consequently, I think there is a similarity of viewpoints on how to understand relations. And the common agenda is the agenda that has to do with topics that we both believe are essential, a common agenda to discuss migrations, because we cannot live in a globalized world. Everything is globalized, and the only thing that is not globalized is the possibility for human beings to cross borders and go to another country. Resources funds move about, and this is not the case for human beings. So migration is not only a topic for domestic policy, even less so in the States, which is a tremendous melting pot with so many migrations throughout its history. And we should also understand that migrations are a reality south-south among Latin American countries. Consequently, I think it is very important to go ahead along these lines. There's a second very important area, which is the topic of trade, and we discussed it this morning. Since we have a crisis situation, there might be a greater degree of protectionism. Well, listen to each other. Be aware of it. In the Depression 80 years ago, there was more protectionism. Are we going to go back to that? No. And if we speak about trade, we have to see how much we agree to carry out the new Doha. Or are we going to forget Doha for good? It used to be the trade negotiation for development, and after 2 years, we haven't really advanced much with the Doha round. NAFTA or ALCA, is it dead or not? The third area that will allow us to advance is everything that has to do with the current financial crisis and what comes out of it. So let us presume that we are out of the crisis, finally. The greatest contribution of the States to Latin America and the rest of the world is how to get out of the crisis as soon as possible. I don't think no one will protest if Obama deals with this topic at the very beginning and he dedicates 100% of his time to this. If he does it, it'll be the best news for his country and Latin America and the world. But then we need a new financial architecture, international institutions, the World Bank, Monetary Fund, other institutions. We need other architectures. Are we going to speak about the rating agencies? Are they private bodies? Yes, but they are really very, very important. And these rating agencies so far in this crisis were really hit. Yes, but now what do we do with them after the crisis? You can advance more strongly. In the morning, someone, Fernando Enrique Cardoso, spoke about a new Bretton Woods. We could think that the new institutions could have an international currency, since we already had a modest intent with the clearing special rights. A region such as Latin America with the exchange rates, we are more or less competitive depending on the fluctuation of our currencies. And it's a paradox. In the middle of the crisis, the strongest currency is the dollar. So this is a very crucial question. The fourth topic is what we mentioned about the three wars. Philip Metten said the third war is the north of Mexico on drug trafficking. This is one of the most crucial topics we have. Philip Bennett mentioned that. This is fundamental. 6 months, a year ago, we hadn't seen that. But the courageous decision of President Calderón of approaching this topic means that we should all be committed to this struggle. So Mexico is combating drug trafficking. Yes, but the money of the drug traffickers reaches the States, and the weapons go from the States through Mexico or to Mexico through the border. So we have an important responsibility, all of us. And this is a fundamental field, the question of security, drug trafficking, and how we define a common policy. The third or the fifth topic is the climate change. The crisis will be over, but the climate change is here to stay. We are going to go to the 21st century with a green paradigm and the leadership of the states is fundamental. And in that leadership, Latin America has an important contribution to do with deforestation. And if worldwide deforestation is 20% of the emissions, in Latin America emissions, 50% are due to deforestation. Do we decrease deforestation so we will advance? I don't want to speak about special cases, the relationship between the states and Cuba, the embargo, what are we going to do? But anyway, I believe that the decision of closing down Guantanamo as a center for tension, already announced by President Obama, is very interesting for human rights. And I do think we have a lot to do in this field. And finally, I would say that there is something very important. Where do we establish a forum to discuss all these topics, which are multilateral topics, whether Latin America is or not in the same hemisphere? Where do we discuss these topics, agreements, differences? This is what we should do, discuss things among friends. And this is a good topic for the next summit of the Americas at Trinidad Tobago. We should discuss these topics to see how we go ahead. By the way, we do have a splendid forum for this, the Organization of American States. Perhaps we could find a forum to discuss these topics. The final comment. The States discusses many of these topics in the yearly meetings with Europe, in the NATO meetings, for example. There's also a special forum to discuss with ASEAN. And we don't have a special forum to discuss matters with Latin America. And when we have hard topics, tough, difficult topics, what do we do? For example, the invasion of Iraq. I felt that we didn't have a place where we could look at each other in the eyes to establish a common policy or to discuss our differences. We didn't have that forum. And I clearly saw that the Secretary of Defense was going to NATO, meeting the European partners and discussing things openly. But we don't have this in our hemisphere. The only thing we had was a telephone call from one president to another, just bilateral conversations. And I thought it would have been much more useful to have a locus, a forum for 8, 10, 12 presidents to discuss this topic. Perhaps we could have more open discussions about agreements and disagreements. So there must be a multilateral agenda. By the way, there are bilateral topics between our countries and the states, but I do think this is different from the way in which we usually discuss matters, questions between the USA and Latin America. It has to do with Latin America thinking that many of these topics, there's something that they could contribute to. There are three Latin American countries in the G20 that will meet at the beginning of April in London to discuss the financial crisis. That means that this is a good starting point, and Latin America should be an active partner in these fields, in the multilateral arena. And there will be many coincidences with common principles with the administration to come to power on the next 20th of January. Thank you. Thank you, President Lagos. Thank you very much. Our panel members are following your comments very closely.
Bueno, entre tanto, si les parece.
Well, in the meantime, I'm sure that Michael Schiff is arranging whatever has to be arranged in the States. Let's give the floor to another person here in Madrid in the meantime. Well, President Lagos has presented a very interesting agenda, and he worked along these lines with very competent people in the institution, crisis, immigration, trade, climate change, and He also discussed how to continue dialogue between Latin America and the States. And I'd like to listen to other opinions. I'd give the floor to our friend Jorge Castañeda. I'm sure he's going to be provocative. Thank you, José Miguel. I hope I will not disappoint you. I want to greet our friends in Washington. I'm very glad to be with them in this forum, in this seminar in Madrid. I fully share what has been said.
Spanish, I understand Spanish, so maybe you can go with
right.
English.
I know Jorge's English is very good, so.
Yeah. That's very kind of you. Entonces, ¿qué, en español o en inglés? Pues en inglés.
English.
All right. I think that agreeing fully with what President Lagos said here and what our friends in Washington have said about the huge expectation for change that President-elect Obama's victory and now inauguration has awoken in Latin America, it's also true that the real leeway for change, at least in the first couple of years of his first term, and I hope there is a second one, is rather narrow. And I have the impression that perhaps the expectations in Latin America are a little high and will not be easily satisfied. Part of the huge expectation, of course, comes from the very bitter or more than bitter aftertaste that the Bush administration left in Latin America. And part of the expectation comes from the personality and the identity of President-elect Obama himself. Had the outgoing administration been a different one, there wouldn't be that much of an expectation for change. Or had the incoming administration been one without the very specific and iconic, emblematic nature that Barack Obama has, the expectation wouldn't be as great. But the fact is that we have those two factors contributing to generate enormous expectations and hope for change in Latin America. But as I said, the leeway is very narrow. It's very narrow for several reasons. The first ones are, of course, those that our friends in Washington and President Lagos already mentioned, i.e. that the first priority is to get the U.S. economy back on its feet. The second priority in foreign policy will probably be the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran. And only later on, after those have been addressed, will the President himself be able to engage. I agree with Mac that he can engage either through the Secretary of State or he can engage through a special envoy if he does name one. But as you well know, Mac, it's not that simple to substitute, to replace a President. The other problem that reduces the leeway, and then I'll address two specific issues, is that much of President Bush's impopularity in Latin America is not so much due, with a few exceptions, to what he did or did not do in Latin America, but to what he did or did not do elsewhere in the world. I'm sure I would have liked him a whole lot more if he had come through on immigration reform. I'm sure that President Chavez would dislike him a little bit less if he had been a little bit less forthcoming and greeting the attempted coup in April of 2002 with less enthusiasm. But at the end of the day, really, it's not so much Latin America that has made him distasteful or disliked in Latin America. It's Iraq, it's Abu Ghraib, it's Guantanamo, which, not because it's in Cuba, but because of what has happened in Guantanamo, it is a series of policies that he has followed. And those policies, as we are seeing, are very difficult to change. It's not going to be that easy to just get out of Iraq overnight. It's not going to be that easy to close Guantanamo overnight. It's not going to be that easy to convince the Israelis to cease fire and withdraw from Gaza a couple of days after he takes office. None of these policies are that easy to reverse. And so I have my doubts there in terms of Latin America, whether the factors that contributed to the lack of popularity of President Bush will not be present also with President Obama. He will have a honeymoon, but it won't last forever. I think he will try then to postpone as many things as he can in Latin America, but I think there are two exceptions.
One, and perhaps I might disagree, or it would be a nuance with President Lagos on the Cuban question. I'm sure the last thing President Obama wants is to get involved in the Cuban mess early on in his administration. I mean, too many Democrats in the White House have really gotten, to use an elegant Castilian term, shafted by Cuba early on in their administration, starting, of course, with President Kennedy, obviously President Carter with Mariel, President Clinton with the shooting down of the Hermanos al Rescate. The last thing he wants is that. The problem is that it's not necessarily in his hands. There are several important events in Cuba which may or may not happen or linked to Cuba, and I don't think even the President of the United States can decide exactly when Fidel Castro is going to pass from the scene. I think Fidel Castro can, but not Barack Obama. And I think that whatever happens in Cuba is not necessarily going to give Obama time to postpone this issue indefinitely.